This is the Mizzou Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mizzou Sports Podcast. My name is Eric Blum, breaking down Mizzou sports with you every time here on the show. We'll start to have more regular episodes now that we're getting into almost football season. Today is July 14th. And we're less than a week away from SEC Media Days. We'll talk a lot about that in this episode. We had Nick Kelly on as our special guest and kind of my co-host for this episode. And, you know, we talked a lot about kind of the upcoming football season, what to expect. And, you know, it's been a little bit of a busy offseason with all the NIL, name, image, and likeness stuff kind of going on. And we'll maybe have another episode coming up that dives deeper into that. But Nick and I talked about a lot, kind of his career, you know, and what led him to being the Alabama football reporter at the Tuscaloosa News and, you know, more stuff like that, kind of like, you know, how he was on the beat with me in 2019 when he was at the Missourian and I obviously was at the Tribune. And a couple more, you know, things like that. So without further ado, let's get into the main part of the show with Nick Kelly. Joining the Mizzou Sports Podcast this time is the Alabama football reporter for the Tuscaloosa News, Nick Kelly. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing great, Eric. Great to be with you.
Yeah, great to have you on as well. Kind of walk us through your own Wikipedia page. How'd you end up in Tuscaloosa?
Well, Columbia was a big part of that for me. I was a student at Mizzou for 4 years, from 2016 to 2020, and that included working for places like the Maneater, the Tribune for a year, and the Missourian as well. So I got a lot of experience there. I've also been fortunate to have a chance to work in Tampa and in Boston for some internships and do some work back home in Minnesota, and now we're in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
And you mentioned your final day before going to cover, I think, the Lightning for like 3 months or so in Tampa was like my first day on the job, because you like kind of were like, I guess, the part-time prep person for like 2018 after Cam got elevated. That was your kind of role there right before the summer took over of 2018, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yep. So I was in preps, or I was on preps. I haven't thought about this in a little bit. It feels like years ago, especially with COVID. Mm-hmm. So I was basically the part-time preps writer for a semester. And then the semester before that, I was an intern, and I was covering everything from Olympic sports to helping with football and doing some preps as well.
Very cool. And then, so you covered the Lightning pre back-to-back Stanley Cups, but you probably saw that happen. You were on the football beat with the Missourian during the 2019 season, I think a little bit of other stuff as well. So just kind of, and we talked a little bit of this off recording, but just now that you've been in Tuscaloosa for a little while, how does the athletic scene compare Mizzou to University of Alabama?
Yeah, well, I think unfortunately for most schools, they don't quite measure up to Alabama. There's plenty of winning for the football program here, as most people may have heard about. And I think just in my short time that I've been here, the amount of passion and just people you can find who have a take on Alabama football is just crazy. I mean, it's such a fun environment to be in if you're a football fan or a fan of, you know, college athletics. They had a great year in other sports as well. And so it's fun where you could talk to anyone anywhere and they probably have an opinion on Alabama football. And I think that's, you could say about a lot of college towns. And just here in Alabama, though, it just feels kind of next level. And that kind of tends to happen when your football team wins national championship after national championship.
Now that you're new to the beat, I know Nick Saban is this larger-than-life character in college football, but I don't know how many chances you probably had to interview him, because I know kind of the media relations at Alabama works very much different than it works at Mizzou. But what are your kind of first impressions just as a reporter whose job it is to cover Nick Saban?
Yeah, Nick Saban is obviously kind of in a class of his own. Obviously, there have been other schools who have won national championships, and you got great coaches in other schools, but I mean, there's just not much that you can compare it to him. And I think that his success is, it's fascinating because he's such a creature of habit and just process. And in some ways, and I've been here a few months now, but I'm really going to be interested to see kind of up close and personal once the season gets rolling, just in terms of how he goes about just this yearly process that is this machine that just keeps rolling. Because obviously with college sports, you only have athletes for a certain period of time before they either use up their eligibility, go to the draft, whatever it might be. And yet Nick Saban's system just keeps working and he adapts. And that's what I think is so fascinating so far, just in the more research I've done and just being up close, is the changes that you see are intentional and strategic, and he's not stuck in his old ways, which a lot of coaches who have been doing as long as he has could be stuck in those ways. And so it's fascinating to see how willing he is to adapt and evolve and learn, but also stay disciplined to certain qualities. And discipline is a huge thing for him that he preaches on as well. And so it's very fascinating to see just kind of that success and what goes into that just in the few months I've already been here.
And one of the biggest signs of Saban, I think, for me, is just the coaching tree. Obviously, now you have Steve Sarkisian at Texas, but there's guys like Mike Locksley at Maryland, and I believe the coach at Marshall was a recent assistant. And just it's just a larger-than-life tree of just, you know, how many degrees of separation do you have between Nick Saban? I think Kirby Smart also worked for him, and, you know, I think it was his record against former assistants was something astronomical, but he got to play that many of them, and that was the crazy part of it. But we're not here just to talk about Nick Saban. We're recording this on July 14th, SEC Media Days, the traditional sense, as much as we can get back to it, starts in 5 days. It was kind of my first week truly on the job. I was hired in May of 2019 as the Mizzou Athletics reporter, but I didn't have anything truly on the beat to do until July of 2019. And it was kind of Media Days, and Kelly Bryant was on the rage, and, you know, it was looking like Missouri had a schedule, there was a silver platter, and how far ago that now seems. You know, that was about 4 months before, you know, the sanctions got upheld and the craziness of the Drinkwitz coaching hire. All that feels – that was 2 years ago, but feels like five somehow. Do you just – can you
– seriously, if not 10.
I was going to say, just that's nuts. What do you remember kind of – I don't believe you actually at SC Media Days that year, and you'll probably be there in 5 days. But what do you kind of remember from just – that 2019 season of Missouri and just how much of a roller coaster it really was?
Yeah, it really had it all, didn't it? I mean, it really didn't lack for much. I mean, you had the sanctions were kind of held over the whole season. I mean, I just remember the general, like, I don't know, paranoia is the right word, but and you obviously experienced this too, but everyone was just waiting. When is this going to drop? When are we going to find out about this? And of course, it dropped, what was it, right before Thanksgiving?
It was November 26th. Missouri was at the basketball tournament, that Hall of Fame Classic, where they played Monday night, and then we all thought we were returning for a Tuesday night game, but they held that press conference in Kansas City that next day. It dropped, seemingly, we all knew it was coming, but almost a little bit out of nowhere Thanksgiving week, yeah.
Yeah, and just the timing was weird because a lot was going on, but in some ways it was just like, well, finally it happened, and really it maybe would have been nice if it was earlier in the year, I don't know, but either way it dropped when it did. But so you have that, then you had a team coming into the year that expectations were probably the highest they had been under Barry Odom, because my freshman year I covered the team for the Maneater, and that's, I think that was his first year, 2016,
correct?
And so it felt like 2019 expectations were the highest they had ever been for his team, and then they lose the first game to Wyoming, which was surprising. Great trip. I had a lot of fun in Laramie, but that was a shocker. And it was just such a weird up and down. And didn't they rattle off like five in a row at home?
It was Wyoming and then five in a row at home and then the Vanderbilt game. Yeah.
Yeah. And then just things went off the track. I mean, it was such a crazy year. And then of course Barry lost his job at the end of the year, and then they hire Drinkwitz, and yeah, so it really didn't lack for anything.
Yeah, no, it definitely didn't. And I think I've talked to a couple of your beat mates from 2019, both Liam and Bennett, and they said there was some – I don't know if you were there with them, but they were going to go visit some sort of must have been like memorial or, you know, just museum that had to do with, you know, all the civil rights stuff in Little Rock. And either on the drive or they had just arrived when news of Odom's firing just came down the day after that Arkansas game. It's like, well, we're not doing anything else today. Just that – were you with them then or no?
I was not, actually, which in some ways I think jumped on right away. It was like a reaction kind of piece. And so it was just kind of like we were working on it from different states and, you know, different kind of things that we were trying to piece together at that point. because yeah, it was another hectic, because that was the same week of the sanctions, right? It was just a couple days later.
Oh yeah, that was the Friday. So sanctions dropped on Tuesday. I drove to Little Rock, and you might have flown based off of where you were Thanksgiving on that Thursday. Game Friday, Odin was fired in the early morning hours of Saturday. Correct.
Jeez, yeah, that was what a week.
Yeah, no, that was crazy. But now, well, let's bring it forward. Obviously, a lot has happened since then. Now, going now into media days in 2021, I don't think it's a shocker to say that probably Alabama will be picked to win the conference again, if not, you know, probably win the national title by a lot of people. But just can you describe how the national championship or bust expectations are down there? Is it accurate? Is it as crazy as people on kind of the outside SEC bubble think it is in Tuscaloosa?
I think so. I mean, really, every year the expectation is that they're going to play for a national championship and that they can make the playoff, which for some teams that'd be a great year. But if that doesn't happen for Alabama, then that's not a good year. And so there's so little room for error. And if the playoffs, you know, expand and change, that'll change up some things. But right now, you can't lose much more than one or two games if you want a shot. And so Alabama has to be near perfect. And also, when you're the top dog, other teams are coming for you. And so we'll see what happens. But of course, they've got some tough competitors in Georgia, in Texas A&M, in Florida. I mean, there's a lot of teams that could be competing for the top spot in the SEC. But Alabama, I think every year, as long as Nick Saban is there, is going to have a shot at that. And I think just when you go into a year not knowing what teams are going to look like, they're probably going to be picked most years.
And then just what's kind of the breakdown for this year's Alabama team as of right now? I mean, just a lot of thought was kind of given to how dominant they were last year. I mean, is there even a possible slip up this year or a chance they don't make the playoff?
It's always possible. And because there is so little room for error, but they still have a ton of talent waiting in the wings. The offense is going to be interesting to watch because they literally – lost so much talent, but they still have talent behind them, just unproven talent. So they lost guys like Mac Jones, Najee Harris, their offensive line, Alex Leatherwood, Landon Dickerson. I mean, they had a lot of talented guys. And of course you have the wide receivers, Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith. And so you have a ton of talent you have to replace, but doesn't mean they won't be able to. It just means right now they have question marks. So yeah, I think if you're a team like Texas A&M or Florida or Georgia or whoever, you're hoping that, yeah, that means they're not going to be as good. But and chances are they probably are not as good because they were incredible last year, undefeated, dominant, facing all SEC teams. And so they probably won't be that good again, but they maybe don't have to be that good again to still possibly win the West and also the SEC.
So what would be kind of just how you would describe the shift to this year? You mentioned some of the personnel, but, you know, do you expect that same offensive team, or is it more of a focus on defense, or – is it just who knows at this point?
I think the defense is going to be what they rely on more early on. Now, of course, we're in a different era of college football where you're not holding a team to 6 points, at least not another team that's, you know, highly competitive kind of thing, or at least an SEC team you're probably not going to hold to 6 points. But the defense still has a lot more experience. They have a ton of talent, especially at linebacker. They've got some guys like Will Anderson and Christopher Allen and Christian Harris, and they brought in Tennessee transfer Henry Toto. So they're going to have a great linebacking core. They have experience in the secondary. They have experience up front. And so their defense is probably what they're going to rely on early on while their offense gets more experience and gets up to speed. So that defense will probably be the thing to watch, even though it's not quite the days where defense has shut teams out and we're just dominant.
What are you most looking forward to about covering media days?
Well, I was kind of, as weird as to say it, you know, excited to see what the fans are like, because I hear they're just crazy at media days. But it sounds like as of today, they're not going to let them inside, right? So
they just
it's going to be not
today.
Quite
yeah.
the it's not quite the it's not going to be the full SEC experience or SEC media days experience, I should say. But yeah, I'm just interested to see what the whole spectacle is like, because during my time in Missouri, I was usually somewhere else during the middle of the summer. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what this whole craziness is like. And I'm sure it'll be a little different with maybe COVID protocols or whatever. But it's going to be interesting to see all these reporters in one place in Hoover, Alabama, and see what interesting things are said and see what good and probably silly questions are asked.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of, you know, what are your expectations this year, and a lot of responses of, well, I think we're going to be good, even probably from Vanderbilt. But I think it's going to be interesting because I think it's eight first time. Well, technically Lane Kiffin's done it before, but eight coaches have since changed jobs since the last SEC Media Days. Obviously, Barry Odom was a part of it and a few other coaches as well. I think it's Saban, Orgeron, Mark Stoops, Kirby Smart, and two others that I cannot think of off the top of my – probably Dan Mullen and one more that I cannot think of off the top of my head that has stayed in place since last SEC Media Days, because I think it was four hires last year, four hires this year.
Yep.
And that means the one that stayed the same that I cannot think of off the top of my head. It's not Auburn. It's not the two Mississippi schools. It's not Arkansas. Oh, it's Jimbo Fisher. It's there we go. Okay. So, you know, is there one player or one thing with Alabama you're kind of most looking forward to getting, you know, kind of at Media Days? They released the names of the players today, but is there any one thing you think that can be answered for Alabama when you come out of Media Days?
Yeah, I don't know if there's something we're going to get a great answer to. I mean, one guy who's talking about Alabama, John Metchie, he was hurt in the spring, so he didn't talk to any reporters, but he's kind of going to be the guy, or expected to be the number one receiver at a place that has had some great receivers the past few years with guys like I mentioned before, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, yeah, Jerry Jeudy. I mean, you have all these Henry Ruggs, just these talented receivers, and he's going to kind of be expected to be that next number one. A lot of question marks there. And so he's someone who's going to be talking there. And for other teams too, I mean, Bo Nix will be there. That'll be interesting to hear from him. And you've got JT Daniels, who's expected to have a good year for Georgia. And that's going to be fascinating too. And I know you didn't ask about this specifically, but mm-hmm. I'm really going to be interested to see how quarterback play kind of finishes. You know, you and I took part in the USA Today Network's rankings of each position, and it's kind of tricky to think about, okay, which quarterbacks are going to be the best in the conference and each division. And of course, you've got JT Daniels at Georgia, and Bryce Young at Alabama is going to be really fascinating because he's got a ton of raw talent, but he only has seen time and spot duty. He played against Missouri last year, actually.
Correct.
In the second half. So it's going to be interesting to see how these quarterbacks kind of how things play out and just see which guys meet expectations, exceed expectations, and which ones don't do so well, because that's bound to happen as well.
I was going to ask you about those rankings from the network before we get back to the SEC. Is in filling that out, did anything you ranked kind of surprise you, or who were some of the players you ranked at number one that kind of, you know, either took you by surprise or you think, okay, these are the guys we really need to watch out for this year across the entire league, that is?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's some great players in the trenches. So O lineman and D lineman that I'm excited to see. I'm trying to think of running back wise. I mean, that's another position too with running backs. There's some talented guys, and it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out just in terms of which ones are successful. Just because last year doesn't mean you're going to have a great year this year. And even for Alabama, Najee Harris, you lose him. And what's going to happen? What's basically going to happen for them with, because they got a guy in Brian Robinson who is going to come in and probably be their starter. And so I'm just curious to see how he does. I mean, in terms of running back talent, I mean, yeah, I think you got Tank Bigsby at Auburn, and I think, I mean, Kevin Harris, I think, was who I ranked number one. And I mean, he had a really great year last year, surprising some folks. And so, yeah, I'm curious to see how, basically, which running backs are the best, and if these guys who in our rankings we saw as the best. But yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, how about you? Is there anyone who stands out to you as someone who just you're most excited to see in terms of who we maybe ranked as number one?
I didn't put this person number one overall. I think that Bo Nix is my number one overall quarterback at Auburn. And I think it's just because we're going position by position. I think that Auburn as a whole is going to take kind of a big step back this year, as you expect, losing a Gus Malzahn. But Nix himself, I think, will do just fine. And I think basically I'm not sure there's a player in the league who more expectations are on him and he will single-handedly move the needle for his team more than a Bo Nix would. I don't think that's a Connor Bazelak at Missouri or a John Metchie at Alabama, or anybody in the league might have more of a say in how individually his team does than a Bo Nix. So I think that that's kind of the one player. I think an Isaiah Spiller at Texas A&M is a player that might be Heisman good, but also might have a horrible year. I don't exactly know how that's going to break down. A lot of that depends on just how, you know, if A&M makes the playoff this year. Actually, I'm really excited to see how and I don't want to butcher his name, but Henry Toetoe, you know, the new Alabama transfer from Tennessee, because he was dominant in Tennessee. Does that just continue and bloom at an Alabama, or is it just like, okay, it's clearly just now you see the disparity between the players that Alabama can get kind of either, you know, from just recruiting in general, and he's not a part of that, or is he just fits in beautifully? And I think that those are kind of some of the players that I'm really looking forward to. I was actually kind of surprised how highly Trajan Jeffcoat of Missouri was ranked, because there was a first place vote for him, and it wasn't me. I don't know who it was. I don't think I ranked any Missouri player in the top three of any category. I think Missouri's got some great players. I think I might have put Trajan and both Bazelak fourth individually each, but I just think Missouri as a whole is an underrated team. But when you look at some of those individual pieces, they're maybe not as star-studded as there. Because I think I would have put probably Nick Bolton number one as a linebacker last year, but he's right. Obviously not back. So I know your current knowledge of Missouri is not incredibly high, but just maybe what's kind of just the outward view of Missouri going into 2021? Is it Drinkwitz and everyone else, or what exactly do you think it is?
Yeah, I think that seeing how Drinkwitz's team does in a non-COVID year is going to be interesting, because, man, I can't imagine trying to take over a football program in the middle of a pandemic like he did. And I think in a lot of ways he did quite well considering the circumstances. But I'm interested to see how Connor Bazelak does with another year with Drinkwitz. I think that, you know, we talked about before, how are these quarterbacks going to play out? Who's going to exceed expectations? Who's going to maybe meet them? Who's going to maybe not do as well as fans hope? And he's someone I'm intrigued to see how he does and see how he can just perform with more experience and more confidence probably too. And so I'm going to keep an eye on him just as much as guys like Jakey Daniels and Bryce Young. And it's going to be, I mean, quarterbacks are always under the microscope, but I'm really intrigued to see how those guys do. And yeah, I think, I mean, you talk about Trajan Jeffcoat, and I think I ranked him third, if I remember correctly, because he's up there, and statistically, he's got some good numbers compared to the rest of the league. And so, yeah, we'll see where those guys, how they do, and yeah, I'm trying to think who else stands out, because obviously it's been a few years since I was there, but I guess who else player-wise do you think could be one of their best?
I think Tyler Beatty could be has a shot, and he was the number, I think, maybe two back during the 19 season, because Roundtree was still in front of him, and he was, when you covered him, the Man Eater, he was, I think, maybe even number three with Demaria Crockett still here as well. But you look at just a couple of those guys, I think at Tyler Beatty, seeing the design of how Larry Roundtree ran the offense, I think that that's a big thing. And then, I mean, two names have really been floated around Columbia, and guys that neither of us have covered yet, in Dominic Lovett, Mookie Cooper, two now freshman wide receivers coming in who are top prospects out of the St. Louis area. Mookie was a top 100 prospect, I think, in the 20 class that Missouri missed on, but got him back via the transfer portal after a stay at Ohio State. And Lovett was flipped from Arizona State for the 21 class. And I think that the vertical passing game was something that Missouri needed and didn't have and hasn't had in a few years, probably since Drew Locke left. So, I mean, that was something that Kelly Bryant really never did well with, and they just didn't have the time to install properly with the COVID year. So I think that that's kind of something that developing more of that offense, I think those are some of the guys that kind of might step up. And then it's just kind of been one guy after the next kind of at linebacker for Missouri, with Terrence Hall, Kel Garrett, and Nick Bolton, who are now all either on NFL practice squads or on full rosters. And the next guy in line kind of there is Devin Nicholson. And I think he was kind of a guy that showed out at the end of 19 when you were still covering the team, had a really solid under-the-radar kind of year last year. And now he's going to be the leader in the middle of that defense, along with Blaze Aldridge, who they got from Rice. So, yeah, and those are a couple of the guys. Just, I guess, kind of now just big picture, kind of wrapping this all up, Nick, just what do you think, just, you know, how does the SEC kind of the outlook look this year? I know Alabama and Georgia kind of are going to be the two teams from each division that are overwhelming favorites. But is there a team or something that you're thinking, OK, this is a team that's going to shock a lot of people, or a team that's going to make more noise than a lot of people are thinking right now?
Yeah, I don't know if you can say that about a Texas A&M or a Florida, but I'd say those are the two other big time contenders to watch for in terms of challenging for the top spots in the league. But I mean, I'm not just saying this because I'm on a Missouri podcast and I went there, but I'm really interested to see what Missouri does and if they can win a few of those games that they maybe didn't win last year, because the Tigers could really be a threat to just some teams that maybe are that top echelon, or heck, Missouri could be contending. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's probably gonna be a little tougher for them, but I think Missouri's got enough talent, is good enough, and frankly, I'm just intrigued to see if Missouri can be that team that maybe has. I mean, Kentucky could be similar in that way too, where they have enough talent, they're good enough to threaten an Alabama or threaten a Georgia kind of team. And obviously, Missouri's not going to be playing in Alabama this year, but just the, you know, that you have that kind of those top dogs that are competing for winning the conference in each division. But there's some teams that could also really present some problems, like a Missouri, like a Kentucky. And so I'm fascinated to see how they play. I mean, heck, Ole Miss could be fascinating too to see with Lane Kiffin and the head of high flying offense last year, and we'll see how their defense can play this year. And so I keep an eye on Ole Miss as well. I mean, Auburn, I feel like I'm just listing schools at this point, but like,
go for it.
It really is kind of intriguing to see how things will play out, because I think there is going to be some good parity in the league this year. And I mean, maybe not in the top spots, like you said, with Alabama and Georgia, but I think there's going to be some good games at the very least.
Yeah, you did. You were listing teams a little bit, but you didn't mention the team that I think was my answer. And Missouri fans aren't going to like this, but I think Arkansas was the best 3-7 team in the country last year, and probably deserved better than 3-7. And they're only going to get better, I think, this year in year two under Sam Pittman. They're going to knock off somebody like an Ole Miss, maybe even an LSU, not an A&M or Alabama, but somebody else in the West. And I'm not sure who their crossover game is this year, but it's not Georgia. It's not, and they play Missouri every year, but they're going to knock off somebody that people are not expecting. So I think Arkansas might be the answer. They're not going to contend for a title, but they might have one of the more shocking upsets across all of college football when it happens this year. So yeah, one final question for you, Nick, before we let you go. And this is maybe the most controversial thing you'll say of the entire episode. And I ask every person I have on this, and I have to ask you. So going back to your days in college, what was the go-to spot for you to eat in Columbia?
I mean, I feel like Shakespeare's is the easy answer, but it's also probably the true answer in terms of spent the most time at, probably ate the most consistently at. And just like, yeah, I mean, it's such a great place to hang out, and just, you know, the pizza's solid. I mean, I don't know if I will say that is the best pizza in town. I mean, Pizza Tree is pretty dang good, especially at late hours. But I mean, Shakespeare's is probably my answer.
Sounds good. Well, I can't top that. I mean, Shakespeare's is very good, and I think Pizza Tree probably beats it a little bit, but yes, very much so. So that was Nick Kelly from the Tuscaloosa News. Where can people find your stuff online? Where can people find you on Twitter and all that?
Well, I'm at _NickKelly on Twitter, and my stuff, as well as my talented colleagues' work, is on thetuscaloosanews.com.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Nick. And I don't know if you'll be there next Thursday, but if so, I'll see you in Hoover. If not, we'll find each other at some press box across the country this year. Thanks, Nick.
Yes, we'll be there all week. So we'll see you then.
We would like to thank our sponsors for the Columbia Daily Tribune's Mizzou Sports Podcast. University of Missouri Healthcare. University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to be the official sponsor of MU Athletics. Blue Events. Let Blue create the perfect event. Their passion for food, service, and presentation ensures that you will have a seamless and memorable event, no matter the size. They will work with you to bring your vision to life. Phyllis Nichols, State Farm Insurance. There when things go wrong, here to help life go right. The Mizzou Sports Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's, the home of handmade-to-order chicken, salads, and more than a dozen mild-to-wild sauces. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today. Follow Mizzou football with the Tribune's Tiger Extra newsletter. Sign up at columbiatribune.com/TigerExtra for stories, galleries, and podcasts in your inbox every Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday. And now, back to the show.
And thank you you once again to Nick for joining us on this week's Mizzou Sports Podcast. Definitely cool to catch up with him, and definitely cool to now kind of be a colleague with him now that he's in the USA Today network. I will be heading down to Birmingham. It's technically Hoover, but heading down to Alabama for SEC Media Days next Wednesday. Eli Drinkwitz, Case Cook, and Akil Byers will be the three Missouri representatives. They go Thursday morning. Definitely will have a few podcasts and things like that of that kind of nature coming from Hoover. Probably will get there, you know, mid-afternoon, hopefully, on Wednesday to, you know, get my credentials and, you know, catch up with some of the beat writers and hopefully get a lot of content out for you guys from what should be one of the busier kind of just now periods of the off season in terms of actual, you know, things to talk about, because we're getting so many different interviews with players and things like that. And it should be a really fun week. It was actually my first true week on the beat, was the last SEC Media Days held in at the same hotel, the Winfrey in Birmingham in 2019. And now, you know, it's been a long 2 years. It was a lot longer than that, like Nick said. And now we're kind of getting back, and, you know, it's going to be more of a controlled atmosphere with, you know, media having to stay in their seats and, you know, all the rotating. And, you know, there's going to be, I think, a little less chaos than there was the last time I was there. But it's definitely going to be another sign that things are returning back to normal kind of on the back end of this pandemic. And then so check out a lot of stuff for me coming up from SEC Media Days. Hopefully we'll have a podcast, definitely catching up with some SEC beat writers as well. I'll try and get Mark Weiser from Georgia on. I think there's a lot of interest there. Maybe with Florida, Kentucky, you know, now with Josh Heupel at Tennessee. I think there's a lot of different coaching changes and things that are different that we could have, you know, that would be good for the podcast, definitely. And then from there, I'll definitely have another episode with Phil Steele coming up soon. Gives his, you know, yearly appearance here on the podcast. And, you know, before we know it, we're about 3 weeks away from the start of Mizzou football fall camp, and they'll be rocking and rolling for heading towards September 4th in Central Michigan from there. But thank you for listening to this week's Mizzou Sports Podcast, and we'll see you next time.